Okay, so we're on page 120. Today we're going to finish this third shiur. I guess there's this shiur Gimel and Tzurva of the halachos of Neir Shabbos, the chelik, I guess, Beis, the second shiur. So we'll begin with source 21. So there's a interesting shaila. It comes up once in a while, whether you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to light your Shabbos candles after sunset. So, and can you make a bracha? So on the surface, I would say, well, of course not, but it's not so simple. There's a interesting Magen Avraham here in source 21, Or HaChaim Reish Samech Gimel Sif Katan Yud Aleph, and he cites this Maharash, that's from Shalom of Neustadt. And he says, Kishyesh chuppah be'erev Shabbos u'ma'achrim ba'ad achar shkiyah. Let's say there's a chuppah on Erev Shabbos and it's lasting until after sunset. V'isha, and the woman does not want to accept Shabbos before the chuppah. She doesn't want to accept Shabbos early. So he says, Oz tomar la'akam la'lik achar chuppah v'hi tevarach ad kan. And that's like that's Hik Tavarech. So he cites this position that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to light Shabbos candles, and she can make a bracha. So these are two. They're two separate chidushim, two separate novel ideas. Number one is you can ask a non-Jew to light for you, and number two, you can even make a bracha on it. And the Magen Avraham is astounding. If a tamuhi. The lo shayach bracha bidaluka of omedes. So number one, what's the bracha? Lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. The bracha is to on the act of lighting. How can you make a bracha when someone else lit? And secondly, vo damira laakum shvus, that telling a non-Jew to do malacha is a rabbinic prohibition. So how can you do that? How can you tell a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos of turning on a light? You can't do that. But then he says, okay, this question we could answer. Miu ben hashmashos lo gazu ashvus. Maybe that's ben hashmashos between sunset and nightfall. So then you can tell maybe a non-Jew to light. So and then he says, miu b'di'evanim shacham milavarech ad shechashecha lish yesh lismach a marash. If you forgot to make a bracha until it got dark, you can rely on the opinion of the Marash. So this is like a wild position. This basically says, if you forget to light during sunset, you can tell a non-Jew to light for you, and you can make a bracha. So if you look at source 22, Rav Akiva Eiger, he says this can't be true. He says, "Lanius daiti, gam alidav takara de tovar lagor lahadlik." Regarding the solution, right? There are two solutions. One is to light and just not accept Shabbos, but light early. The second solution is to wait till afterwards and to have a non-Jew light for you. He says this is very difficult. There's a general principle. It doesn't always apply, but the general position is we can't. There's no agency on behalf of a non-Jew. In other words, you can't appoint a non-Jew to do something for you to fulfill your mitzvah. There are sometimes that there is shlichus. Some say that the whole notion of mir l'nachri, why can't you tell a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbos, is based on shlichus. He's acting as your agent. But to do a mitzvah, we generally hold ein shlichus la'akum. So since there's no shlichus for the non-Jew, he ain't a madlekes. She's not lighting. Ve'eich tevarech. How can she make the bracha? Va'ikar lafi ma dekai malan de yochol lahasla kol tzad letzorech v'talik kodem v'titna. He said, "Well, he doesn't. Rav Akiva Eiger does not like the second solution about basically telling a non-Jew to light for you and making a bracha. So just light early. So we're going to talk about this in the second part of the shiur about can you light early and then make a condition that I'm still going to do malacha after I light." But Rav Akiva Eiger basically says, "Yeah, that's what you should do. The solution of waiting for a non-Jew. How can you do that? There's no shlichus. He's not lighting on your behalf." And so he's not fulfilling the. So number one is certainly you can't make a bracha, and even more than that, he can't make the he's not fulfilling a mitzvah for you because there's no shlichus. So he doesn't like that solution. So you have this position out there, the Maharam, the Maharash, but But Rav Akiva Eiger does not like it. So if you go to source 23, you go to source 23, and the Machane Ephraim, right? The Machane Ephraim. So he says the following. He wants to say that. So by the way, how would you think that maybe? How would you think that maybe you can? How can we defend the Maharam's positions? How can we defend his position that you could actually have a non-Jew light for you if the mitzvah is to actually light the candle? So how can you argue that maybe this does work, that the non-Jew can light for you? You're not doing the Maaseh HaDlaka. So how could the non-Jew light for you? So there's a question, is the goal of Ner Shabbos to light a candle? This might be a little nuanced here. Is the goal to light a candle or to make sure that there's light? So the Machane Ephraim in Source 23 says, Vod haya nira tamacher di lomar di yachol levarech alav. So I'll tell you why a woman can make a bracha on lighting Shabbos on the non-Jew lighting Shabbos candles for her. Let's say between sunset and nightfall. V'yavgav shegoyo sehu, even though the non-Jew is doing it. Ve'ein shlichus l'goyim, there's no agency when it comes to a non-Jew. Heche dami b'midi deboy shlichus k'gon trumah v'chayotzeh. Yeah, that applies. Let's say, for example, there's a mitzvah to separate truma. So okay, so you could ask. I could ask. Truma is like in the your crops. So let's say the first 2% of your crops, you get someone to you e either you separate 2% of your crops, or you can get a another Jew to separate. Can you get a non-Jew to separate crops for you? The answer is no. Right? So, but that's only because that requires shlichus. That requires the act of separating the truma. Avobamidi the low boy shlichus. But when it comes to something that doesn't require agency, uvalav hachiyachol chaver laso subnesha umasha asa asoy. And really, without this. And without this, then someone else could have done it, and that would be fine. Could go nidon didon, like our case. The e tiken makas shel chaver shel midato harei zeh shapir. Let's say, for example, there's halacha that let's say most we our roofs nowadays are like slanted, so we don't really have that issue. But if you had a flat top roof, you have to put a fence around it because it's a danger. That's in Hebrew called a ma'akeh. So he says that, let's say I have a flat roof on top. So I'm obligated, according to the Torah, to place a fence around it, a ma'akeh. So let's say someone else did it for me without my intent, without notifying me. So that's good. How is this shapir? Kinami yaso goy chashiv kilo aso Yisrael. Let's say a non-Jew saw I had a flat roof. He was very nervous. People were going to fall off. Then he places a fence around that roof. Is that good? Do I have to like take down the fence and put it back up? No, I don't have to do it. You know why? Because that's a result-oriented mitzvah. That is simply the goal is to make sure there's a fence around my roof. I don't care who does it, whether it's me or another Jew, another person, or even a non-Jew. I just have to get it done. So what he's arguing here is the following: V'chayotzei lazeh kasev Rashba the tefilas kelim. Similarly, if let's say a non-Jew, let's say a Jew dipped my kelim in the kelim mikvah without my let's say my pots, they dipped my pots in the kelim mikvah without notifying me. Is that good? Yeah, the answer is it's valid because the goal simply is that it's a result oriented. The pots have to be dipped in the water. So also, let's say a non-Jew. Can you ask your local Orthodox goy to dip your kelim, your pots in the mikveh? And the answer is yes, because it's result oriented. It's not a din. It's not like truma that requires your consent, and he's acting as your agent. So therefore, he argues. He says, "Ivra the high time of the chude lo sagi el lomar shiol tefilas kelim al yedei goy kevin de lo bayin shlichus kamosha kasev harashbaza." So he said, yeah, this makes sense to say that dipping kelim through a goy works because you don't need shlichus, like what the Rashba said. Aval shehei chashiv ma she'asa ha'goy ki'ilo asahu hu ba'atzuk le'shivarech alav. So he says, but that it should be considered as if you did it so that you should make a bracha on it. He says, that if your friend did it, you can't say as if you did it yourself. So what happens, let's say I have a flat roof, right? I have a flat roof, and someone else builds the roof. Do I make the bracha? I don't make the bracha. I don't say, oh, look, I have now a fence around my roof. I don't make the bracha. The person who did it makes the bracha. In other words, the mitzvah for me is to make sure there's a fence around the roof. But the bracha is on the one who does what? Who actually constructs the roof. So since if agency isn't required, if there's no shlichus, if the goal is simply that the job has to get done, so someone else can do it, even without notifying me. Even a non-Jew can do it. But the only one who can make the bracha then is the one who does it. So the Machne Ephraim justifies, he says, that could be if you're late, let's say you don't have any lights on for Shabbos and it's past sunset. So he says, yeah, maybe you can get a non-Jew to light for you, but you can't make a bracha on it. You might fulfill the mitzvah of making sure that there's light in your house for Shabbos, but you cannot make a bracha on it. So I just want to share with you, so it was interesting, the Mishnah Berurah, he didn't bring the Mishnah Berurah down here, he cited what he said. I'll read you what he says. The Mishnah Berurah basically, he cites the position of the Magen Avraham, and he says that everyone disagrees with this. He says, you can't make a bracha. He says, definitely you cannot make a bracha. How can you say, v'tzivanu lahadlik? He says, it can't be, you can't tell, he's also not sure. Can you, the Mishnah Berurah essentially says that what you really should do is you should make a condition beforehand. They should light and make a bracha and then make a condition that you're not accepting Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah does not like this solution. The Piskei Tshuvos says that, I'll just read to you what he says. He says, Hine Barabim Migdole Achronim, it's not on your book, but it says Barabim Migdole Achronim Matsiru Shasasma Kemagid Avram, Sharashois Haisha Lavarech, Kisha Nachri Madli Kaneros Bitsivui Babenash Moshes. He cites that a number of Achronim hold like the Magid Avram, that a woman can make the bracha, because a Hadlaka Saner is a mitzvah. That it's not that he makes a different argument. He said he makes another argument. He says that the bracha of hadlaka sner is not that you're simply lighting, is that you light and then you get benefit from it. So even if the non-Jew is lighting, nevertheless the mitzvah, the main part, because what do you do when you make the bracha? What do? You cover your eyes and then you write. And then you make the bracha, then you get the benefit from it. So it's not only that the act of the mitzvah is the lighting, but it's even the benefit from it that continues. And therefore, so therefore, it's interesting. You have like a lot of different positions. You have the Magen Avraham says you can make the bracha, right? And then you have those who say you can't. How can you make the bracha? Because you can't. Because you can't tell, the non-Jew can't, ain't shlichos la'akum. You know, the Rabbi Kiveger says, the non-Jew cannot be your agent. But then we had the Machne Ephraim who said, no, that he could be your agent to make sure, or he's not acting as your agent, but he's helping you fulfill a mitzvah that there is light, right? That there is light, that's the result. Ah, but you can't make the bracha, it's only on the act of lighting. And then some achronim want to say that maybe you can make the bracha because you're benefiting from the light, and that's what the bracha is. And then, but they say the bracha then should be asher kidishar mitzvah mitzvahnu, not lahadlik ner, because what's lahadlik ner? To light the candle. Wow. So this you make the bracha al hadlakas haner, on the lighting of the candle. So therefore the Piskei Tshuvos wants to say, he says that if a woman, because of some unavoidable circumstance, she delays and there's already sunset and she can't, she's so upset that there's no one lit candles. He says that you can. He says that, let's say you're very distraught that you weren't able to light candles, so you can ask a non-Jew to light for you, but say just light only one candle, because you really shouldn't be like, you should minimize when you're telling the non-Jew to light for you. And then he even writes, and if there's embarrassment in front of her husband that she's not making a bracha, that she really wants to make the bracha. I'm sorry, my mistake. If she's embarrassed because, you know, there's only one light, they're gonna see you. How come there's only one candle? So then he can have her, there's what to rely on to light more candles. And then he says also, the Mishnah Berurah says, but don't make a bracha on this. But if someone is so distraught that they're not making a bracha, there's what to rely on. But after nightfall and there's electricity, that's a big problem. If there's electric lights already. Because if there are already electric lights in the house, then it's a hard argument to say than to really tell a non-Jew to turn on a light for you when there's no lights at all. That is, I'm sorry, when there are electric lights. What are we arguing? We're arguing like this. We're saying that maybe you could have a non-Jew light for you because, you know, you need the lights for Shabbos. But the truth is, according to some opinions, if you have electric lights, then what? You're okay. Let's say you forgot a light, Shabbos candles, for whatever reason. So we spoke about this, that if there are electric lights, then you're good to go. So it's very hard. I mean, I would tell someone, if someone forgot, you know, someone forgot the lights between sunset and nightfall, and there are already electric lights, I would probably tell them, if they're comfortable with it, you know, just don't light Shabbos candles. Just don't have Shabbos candles lit this week. If they're very upset about it, so I can then you have what to rely on. You can tell a non-Jew to light the candles. Like I said, you fulfill the mitzvah through the electric lights. If you can rely on the fact that the non-Jew is, you can rely on the fact that it's Bein Hashmashos, so then we're lenient to tell a non-Jew to light. And if you want to make a bracha, if you feel really bad, again, you have what to rely on. Again, I would advise not, but if someone very much wants to, there's what to rely on, then maybe making the bracha on the benefit, but not on the lighting. Okay? So that's the halacha when it comes to lighting, you know, a non-Jew lighting for you.
So, to take it away from non-Jew, I know of people who've done it, and I've done it when I'm in a pinch. I'll say to somebody in the house, light the candles for me so when I get downstairs, I can make the bracha. Am I not allowed to say lahadlik ner?
That's
if someone else in the house has lit some,
so you're saying, candles. You're saying when someone...
It's getting late, and I want the candles lit when I get down there. I don't want to start fussing with matches and whatnot. I got six candles to light, whatever. And
maybe, you know what I would advise, actually? I would probably advise in that scenario to actually turn off the electric light and then turn it back on and make the bracha. At least you're lighting the electric, because you make the argument when you're lighting the electric lights, it's also part of the bracha. Like, in other words, you're doing the maisa hadlaka on the electric lights, which will take you maybe like 5 seconds to do. That's what I would advise actually doing in that situation. It's a question. In other words, you might be able to rely on the fact that, you know, this position about, okay, maybe the lighting is not only the lighting, it's a two-parter. It's lighting and benefiting from it. Again, it's a hard argument, but I would, in other words, you want the better, I think, practical solution would be to turn off your dining room lights when you get down, and then, you know, wait a few seconds and turn it back on. That's what I would do, probably.
Well, they're not usually on in the dining room, so I guess if I turned them on, that would
Or
be.
whatever it is, turn on some light so you gain benefit from
No,
it.
I'm saying,
Yeah.
no, I usually don't have them on when I bench lift. I
Oh.
like the room to be dark so that the
Ah, wow.
Neil
Oh, that's
Shabbos.
great. That's great. Yeah, that's great.
So the timer is always set for after Shkia.
Okay. So yeah, if you can, that if that's that's
Then
probably.
you say would turn it on that particular time would be
Yeah,
better than, okay.
that's probably better. Okay, next we're going to talk now briefly about can you accept Shabbos by lighting, right? So we know when it comes to so the Bahag has this rule in Source 24, and he says the following. He says that. He says Veheicha deboy ad luke. This is on page 123. Veheicha deboy ad luke near Chanukah v'ner Shabbos. So let's say right every year Chanukah falls out one night of Chanukah at least it's Friday night. And if you're like Ner Chanukah, Ner Shabbos, what do you do first? Bereisha Madlik, the Chanukah, Bahadur Madlik, the Shabsa. You first light Chanukah candles, then you light Shabbos candles. Why? De'i Adlik, the Shabbos Bereisha, that if you light the Shabbos candles first, Itzar Leila Dluke, the Chanukah. You wouldn't be allowed to light the Chanukah candles. Why? Mishum, the Kabbalah, the Shabbos, the Kabbalah, the Shabbos alike, because you already accepted Shabbos. The Bahag, again, the Halachos of the Bahag, we don't know for sure who he was. This is a book of mitzvos. The Bahag is a book of mitzvos. There are, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Makos, there are 613 mitzvos in the Torah, and different rabbis throughout the ages have attempted to write, collect lists. I think one of the first, if not the first, attempt at creating a list was the Halachos Gedolos. Some say it was Shimon Kayara. Some say someone named Rabbi Yehuda Gaon. I think it's like the 8th, 9th century. So he writes that he's assuming that when you light Shabbos candles, you automatically accept Shabbos. You can't make this kind of tenai, this kind of condition. He doesn't give us an option. He says if you have to light Shabbos candles and Chanukah candles, light Chanukah candles first. Because once you light Shabbos candles, you cannot then light Shabbos. Once you light Shabbos candles, you cannot then light Chanukah candles. Ah, why would you say light Shabbos candles and then have in mind not accepting Shabbos? He apparently doesn't have that as an option. So that's the Bahag. The Ramban rejects that. Ramban's a Rishon, 13th century, and he says the following in Source 25. He says, "V'kabahu rachuk." This is so wrong. He says this is not correct. Im amru b'yom kippurim kein kisha amar zman mishum shemosif michol kodesh v'ochli v'poskim b'od yom v'yachul hafsi kol kabel alav shelo yochav b'od yom. What happens an erev Yom Kippur? So on Yom Kippur, what do? You add Michol Al Kodesh. He says you're allowed to, you could add, you can extend Yom Kippur, like start Yom Kippur early. But how do you do that? How do you do it? V'cheman shamar zman havekilu me'ata. How do you accept Yom Kippur, accept Yom Tov, when you say Shachianu v'kimanu v'genu l'manzeh? That's how you accept the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur, when you say Shachianu. About Lakas near Shabbos, I mean Liko mi bold yom, Mashikibo Shabbos. How are you accepting Shabbos? When you're lighting Shabbos candles, you know what you're doing? You're preparing for Shabbos. Okay, so you all, when each one of you light Shabbos candles, so then you say, I'm accepting Shabbos. But in reality, why should that be so? Why can't it simply be that when you what that the act of lighting Shabbos candles is simply a mitzvah that you're performing in preparation for Shabbos? Right, so he says, "The hare kadesh shelo yehi tarud be'erev huosa." You're doing this so you're not burdened in the evening, right? Im kein hadlakas hidlik ner shel Shabbos lo yedlik ner acheres. So, if you light a Shabbos candle, does that mean you're not going to light another candle? Adrabo, lo bnei shu Shabbos hu madlik, lo bnei shadayin eino Shabbos madlik. Why are you lighting? You're not lighting because it's Shabbos. You're lighting because it's not yet Shabbos. You don't want to rush. Suzanne, you can save your whole problem of, oh, last minute lighting everything. Light it out, light it early. Just light it. The last minute, I'm thinking about whatever. You're rushing at the very end. Light it early and don't accept Shabbos. Like, why are you like, do it in peace and whatever. Because we're nervous. Once we light, then we're accepting Shabbos. So why are you doing that? Light early and it'll be fine. So he says more than that. Oh, Harei Amruv, turn the page. Harei Amru b'shila pirkin shlishis. At the end of the third parak, third chapter, Masechet Shabbos. So then the Gemara says, "Lahadlikas aner." So, I'm sorry. Sorry. Harei Amru b'shila pirkin. At the end of the end of this parak that the Ramban is saying, shlishis lahadlikas aner. There were six in the old days. in days of the Gemara, days of the Mishnah, they blew the shofar on Erev Shabbos. And each time they blew a shofar, it signified something else. So after they blew the shofar the third time, so like an alarm. What did that mean? It meant, okay, lahaligas aner, now it's time, you gotta light Shabbos candles. Hidlik, right, and he says, Hidlik hamadlik v'shoha, tilitzlos dag katan, o kudei lahadvik pas betador. So the person at that point who lit the Shabbos candles, he would pause the amount of time it takes to roast a small fish or to stick some bread into the sides of the oven. In other words, you could do that even after you lit the Shabbos candles, and you could still prepare a little bit more for Shabbos. The chulavade madlike has uzman the chulo en shehud adlaka. So basically, they're all lighting after the third shofar blowing on Erev Shabbos, and everyone's lighting. Ubasar hachi man adlik gufei madvik pas betan or vitzol dag katan. After they would light, they would still be putting bread in the oven, and they would still be roasting small fish. Midlo have a tikkia bas raisa, because it wasn't the last shofar sound. Dadlaka of the it wasn't the last telling people it, that dadlaka that now there is it wasn't there were six shofar sounds. It was the third shofar sound was the signal to light. It wasn't the last one. So what do you see from here? Shamina the chol ki haigavna lav kabbalah. So Ramban is saying that it's just not true that when you light Shabbos candles, you're accepting Shabbos. It's just not true. You're preparing for Shabbos. In fact, that's the point of the Gemara, that they would light and they would do some halacha afterwards. It means that this is a step in preparing for Shabbos. So the question is, how do we rule on this issue? Do we hold like the Bahag? Do we hold like the Ramban? So the Shulchan Aruch in source 26 says, it's Aruch Haim Reish Tamach Gimel, Steve Yud, he cites, unfortunately, he doesn't come to a definitive position. He says, Le Bahag, according to the Bahag. This is Kevan Shehid Lake Ner Shel Shabbos. Once he lit the Shabbos candles, Chol Olav Shabbos V'nesav B'Melacha. It's now Shabbos, and Melacha is forbidden. V'al Pizeh Noagos K'sas Nashim Sha'acha Sheberchu V'Hidliku Haneros Mashlichos La'aretz Hapsila Shebiyadon Shehidliku Bav Ein Machabos Osar. So because of this, when women light the Shabbos candles after they make the bracha, so they lit the Shabbos candles, now they have this. They can't now. Can they blow out the candle? They can't. Why? It's Shabbos. Well, you see how you obviously don't do that, I assume, right? And what they're saying is, if you light the Shabbos candle, saying if, according to the Bahag, if you light the Shabbos candle and by lighting it you're accepting Shabbos, so that moment is Shabbos. So you gotta like drop the candle, or you have to. I mean, you don't want to start a fire, but you can't blow it out because that'll be a violation of Shabbos. V'yesh, we're going to see practically what we do, but I'm saying it's an interesting position. V'yesh omrim, there are those who say, she'im masna kodem she'id lika, she'inu mekabel es Shabbos, ad she'yomer chazan baruch hu mo'el. And there are some who say that if you make a condition when you light Shabbos candles, that you're not accepting Shabbos until the chazan says baruch hu, right before Marav, then that helps. You can make a condition that I'm not accepting Shabbos when I'm lighting my Shabbos candles. V'yesh om she'en mo, but la. And some say it doesn't work. And v'yesh cholkim al bal halachas gedolos v'omrim she'en kabbalah Shabbos tolei badlogos aner ela betfilas arvis kevan she'amar achazen baruch hu hakol porsim porsim mimulachta. And some disagree, and some hold that and some hold that what? You don't even need a condition. Lighting Shabbos candles has nothing to do with accepting Shabbos. You don't even have to. They're not all related. You can. It's when you daven marv. When the chazan says baruch hu, then you don't stop doing work. Ula didan, and for us, kevin shi'skil mizmor shelim on Shabbos heavy ke baruch hu to do. So in the Talmudic era, and Shabbos was accepted when they said Baruch Hu. So in the post-Talmudic era, when they said Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, that probably was instituted after the times of the Gemara. So then when they said Mizmor Shir, so that's when they accept Shabbos. And that's the Ramban's position. That he says, in other words, there are a few ways to look at this. You have the Bahag, who says, when you light Shabbos candles, you have accepted Shabbos. And you have the Ramban, who says, no, when you light Shabbos candles, you have not accepted Shabbos at all. And you have a sort of an in-between position, that even if you hold like the Bahag, and that when you light Shabbos candles, you've accepted Shabbos, but maybe can you make a condition not to accept Shabbos, right? So there's so far three different positions, right? Either Shabbos, lighting Shabbos candles is an acceptance of Shabbos. Lighting Shabbos candles has nothing to do with accepting Shabbos, or it does, but you can make a condition. I'm lighting, but I'm not accepting Shabbos. What does the Ramah say in the top of page 125? He says, Agav aminog she'osa isha hamadlakas mikabel Shabbos badlakas bahadlaka. The custom is a woman that she lights, she does accept Shabbos with their lighting. Imlo she'hisa tchilas, she makes a condition. Vafil tenai belev sagi, even a condition in her heart is sufficient. Of Asha'ar ben Yampais mutar b'lach ad baruchu. But everyone else, they can do malacha until baruchu. In other words, the Ramah takes the view that the custom, the women have accepted the custom to accept Shabbos through lighting candles, but you can make a condition that you don't want to accept Shabbos when you light. Now, I just want to point out the Menuchas Av on source 27. So he says that Umaran b'Shulchan Aruch Hevi. B'Shulchan Aruch. I think it's say Hevi Das Bahag B'Shmo. He brings in the Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion of the Bahag, and the V'Siem V'Yesh Cholkim Al Bahag. Then he says, and there are those who argue in Bahag. Ulafia klal hamaser biyodei shekosev maran shtei deos belashon yesh shedato lifso kedea hashniya. So apparently there are different rules. So generally speaking, you would hope, right, that you know basically the Gemara is written, and then the Rishonim, the rabbis commenting on the Gemara, they have different opinions, and they argue back and forth. And at some point, the Shulchan Aruch comes along and he says the halacha is like A or the halacha is like B. Occasionally, not often, but occasionally he'll cite, if there's a debate and there's no full consensus, he'll cite both opinions. But what this Sefer Menuchas Ava writes is that there are rules generally. When the Shulchan Aruch writes one opinion and then he says, V'yesh Cholkim, it means that he's really siding with the second opinion. So what it means is, Yosei Shadas Maran Karamban V'siyata She'en Mekabin Shabbos Badlaka. So the Shulchan Aruch really holds that you don't accept, a woman does not accept Shabbos when she lights. Now, here's the question. According to the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Ramah, who says that you can light, the custom is that when you do light, you are accepting Shabbos when you light, but you can make a condition, a stipulation, that I'm hereby, even your heart, I'm hereby not accepting Shabbos when I light. Can you do this regularly? Or do you need like an important like need for it? So the Magen Avraham says, "Mikomakom nearly." It seems to me, "Dein lahastos kim letzorech." It needs to be for a necessity. Miachas sheish cholkim, since there are those who argue on this. The im lo kein tivarech tchila v'titne. Because if this were not the case, you can always make the bracha first. In other words, why can't a woman always make a bracha first? What do? You light, you close your eyes, and then you make the bracha, and then you get benefit. Why can't a woman always make the bracha, have in mind not to accept Shabbos, and then light? Why don't you do this every Friday night? So the Magen Avraham says the answer is that women generally have accepted upon themselves when they light, or because there are those, or I would say differently. I would say that there are those who hold that a condition doesn't work, right? There are different opinions where the condition and stipulation works. So therefore, you should only rely on in times of need. And of course, the big question, what does it mean a time of need, right? For example, let's say it's, you know, Erev Yom Kippur, right? You're driving to Shul. That might be a time of need, maybe, right? So what's interesting is that the Pischei Tshuvos says in source 29, Veloniz bar beberur ma letzorach. It's not clear to me what letzorach means. Is there something that's pressing for the needs of Shabbos, of Gam Shar Dvar Mitzvah, or some other mitzvah need? Or feeling al kol davar shi terudav nechpesel, anything that's difficult. If you want to be lenient, you can rely on this. If you're weak or you're sick, right? So certainly you can rely on this. It's interesting. When Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, turn the page, interesting psak, source 30, when Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says the following. He's actually strict in this issue. He says, Umeagon of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Shlita, now it's Tzatzal, Shamati, I heard, Danesia la Kosa Maravi, Lo Nech Shemes Litzorech, Shemutu lo Lasos Tanai. Right? You're staying at the hotel, right? You want to go to the kotel. So can you light Shabbos candles and then take a cab to the kotel? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says no, actually. He said it's not enough of a need, but others disagree. It seems that Piskei Tshuva disagrees. You see here that Tzitz Eliezer, source 31, Tzitz Eliezer, in Chelek Yud, Simon Yutes, he says, Vim Kein, Im Halicha Le'ezah Chuppah Ba'ir, Sovim Aderah Chayim Vagodav Kiva Eger, Shinikra Zela Tzorch, Shetuk Halis Lassos Alev. Remember the first case where he said you can have a non-Jew light candles for you? If you're going, a woman knows she's going to a chuppah, and in those days, I guess they had the wedding on Friday afternoon. So he said, don't have, we'd rather, you know, can you have a non-Jew light for you after sunset? Seems the preferred option is to light beforehand and make a condition that I'm not accepting Shabbos. That's just for a chuppah, right? That's just to travel to the chuppah. And he says that you can make a condition on. So Mikosh came to Kavachomer Sheish Lomar Shalicha the Kol Samaravi Nikra Litzorach. Says certainly going to the Kotel is called Litzorach V'Tuchal Shapar Liistos Mishum Kach Aleh Bosa Erev Shabbos. And so they can make that condition Erev Shabbos Shiratzot Alechas L'Shabbos. You want to go there? Shodena Einam Kavos Aleh Shabbos. That you don't want to accept Shabbos but Lachas and Erev Bayis by lighting the candle in the house. I think that's the more standard minyan. You know, it's. If you want to be machmir, like for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you can be machmir only when it's a real, real need, you know. But I think it's what to rely on. To light earlier and to light earlier, and if there's a need, it's tired. It's gonna be a long walk, and you're very tired. And there's someone who's sick, and you want to get somewhere. So it seems there's room to be lenient to make the condition. The Mahari Vial. In source 32 says the following: Miksas nashim noagim. Some women have the custom shemadlikim aneros va'achar kach beisimim yadam prusas negin aneros. What do? They light the candles, and then they place their hands opposite the candles. They cover them, right? And va'az mavarchim. Then they make the bracha va'achar misalkim yadehem, and then they remove their hands. Ha de porsim yadehem ki heche de laheve over lasiyasam. So why do they spread their hands out? Because they want that the bracha should be over lasiyasam before the mitzvah is completely fulfilled. V'lo ratzu levara kodem hadlacha. They don't want to make the bracha before lighting. Dim kein kiblu haShabbos v'lo matzei tu ladluke. They don't want to make the bracha before lighting, as if they were, because then they would accept Shabbos. So this is this kind of, you know, the Mari Weil has this like, that's what this basis, why you do that. The reason why you, I assume most women do this, that they light, they cover their eyes, and then they make the bracha, because you're really supposed to make the bracha over Lasiyasim. Normally, before you fulfill a mitzvah, what do? You make a bracha, then you fill the mitzvah. You make the bracha before you begin to fulfill the mitzvah. If you're stuck, then at least you try to make the bracha before you complete the mitzvah. Ideally, you try to make the bracha before you begin the mitzvah. And if you're stuck, you make the bracha at least before you complete the mitzvah. So therefore, when you're lighting Shabbos candles, what are we doing? You're making the bracha before you complete the mitzvah. In other words, you light, you close your eyes, make the bracha, and then you get the benefit from it. There's a two-parter. There's the lighting and the benefit. So you're making the bracha before you get the benefit. Now the Ben Ish Chai in Source 35 says, he says, Aisha chole kabbalah Shabbos badlakas nero Shabbos. He says the woman accepts Shabbos when she lights the Shabbos candles. Mihu lo chal ela ad shetisayim Kol haneros asher madlekas b'makom hashulchan. However, it only takes effect when she finishes what? Lighting all of the candles. And va'achar shesiyim tesayim kol haneros techef umiyad tizrok miyada psila. After she finished lighting all the candles and she throws the wick away or the match away, she mikos haneros v'taniach yada al ina v'tatzom ina v'tvarch techef. And then she should close her eyes and make the bracha. So here's the question. The question is, I don't think you do that, right? You blow it out. What do you do? You light it, and then you blow it out, and then you make the bracha. No, you cover. Sorry, you light it. Yeah. You cover your eyes. Well, you do the thing, all right? You do that thing, right?
That's, yeah.
But when do you blow out the match?
Before
going like that, right? Right.
Right after lighting.
Right after lighting. So the question is, does the light? What is the? What are we concerned? Is the acceptance of Shabbos? Is it the lighting or is it the bracha? Right. The fact that you are blowing the candles out. You're assuming that what?
Bracha.
It's the bracha. That's the statement. That's when you're accepting Shabbos, not the lighting. The Ben Ishchai believes that it's the lighting, right? That's why he says that. And it was interesting. Let's say you light like many candles. It's not the first candle you light. When you finish the act of lighting the last candle is the acceptance of Shabbos. Then he would say you can't actually blow it out because then you've accepted Shabbos. But that's we don't accept that position. But it's an interesting question. Think about it. I'm accepting Shabbos when I'm lighting the candles. You're actually accepting Shabbos when you make the bracha on lighting the candles. Because otherwise you won't be allowed to blow it out after you finish lighting the candles. Right?
On Yom Tov, you can't blow it out.
We're gonna talk about Yom Tov. We'll talk about Yom Tov in a bit. We'll get to Yom Tov and let me do 34 and 35 that we'll do. We'll spend a couple minutes on Yom Tov. The Ravad Yosef says in Source 34, he says, Chazisi la Rav Mamar Mordechai, Shehei Rama, Shekasev Rama, Sheminig Levarach Achar Adlok. He says, the custom is to make the bracha after you light, Mishum She'im of Arkodim, because if you make the bracha before you light, Harei Kibbalav Shabbos, you've accepted Shabbos. Vedi Yachal Od La'adlik, then you can't light. Valzeh Kostav, and on this, you write, Shedaver Baruch, Sheladashi Shechokim, Shevi Maran, Ain Makom Lazeh, according to the Yesh Chokim, according to those who argue, there are no grounds for this, right? Because those who argue, there are some who argue who say that you haven't even accepted Shabbos, so you don't need to do that. You don't need to. You can simply light. You can simply make the bracha then light, because right. If you hold like the Ramban, the lighting is not accepting Shabbos. You can make the bracha then light. And he says, "Va'af l'das b'hag," even according to the b'hag. Mikol makom, nevertheless, mevor sham she'ein kabbalah Shabbos teluya ela badlaka lo bracha. Even according to the b'hag, the acceptance of Shabbos is with the lighting and not the bracha. V'chein masha beis Yosef, and therefore v'lochein lo evi maran zal svarazu koikar. He doesn't bring this reasoning at all that reciting the bracha is accepting the Shabbos. V'hachi muchach midivrei kol haposkim shevar kom sheyadlik, and it's pretty clear from all the poskim that you make the bracha, that one should make the bracha before lighting. Hilkach, therefore, anan de garvinan basar piske baranza lo chashin lisvaruzu klal. We who follow the rules of the Shulchan Aruch are not concerned for this at all. The pshita de adiv tfei levarach over lasiyasek mo bishar mitzvos. Right, Rav Yosef is Sfardi. He's saying, we hold like the Shulchan Aruch, who holds like the Ramban, and we should make the bracha and then light, all right? And then he says, "Hamuram," right? So he says, according to Shulchan Aruch, lighting the candles is not accepting. He said, even according to the Bahag. He said, either way. He said, according to the Yesh Chokim Shulchan Aruch, according to the Ramban, make the bracha, then you light. Even according to the Bahag, he says that Shabbos takes effect only after the candles have been lit, not for the bracha. And then Hamuram Mikol Hamur Shebein Anashim Bein Nashim Melikos Neros Lechvod Shabbos. Whether men or women lighting Shabbos candles, Tzrichim Levar Tchila, he's of the opinion, first make the bracha, V'achak L'Halik, then light. Uchadin Shar Mitzvot, like other mitzvot, Shevarchim La'over L'Asiyasim, like other mitzvot that you make them before you do them. V'en Kol Hevda B'Zeb Min Shabbos Yom Tov, no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. L'Dida Nekibano Haras Maran, according to Sfardim. So they'll make the bracha before they light. Who mibnei asfarvias and mizrach shehokim achrei horas maran yeshal shanos minagol achzer teretz yoshna, and he says that those people He says, if you're a Svardi, then you should, and you don't follow this, you should go back to your Svardi roots. Levarach v'achach lahadlik, to make the bracha, then to light. We came in Sheldas Rova Poskim, Umaran Zal, Hamavarach Achar Laka, heavy bracha levatala. Because according to many Poskim, if you make the bracha after you light, it's a bracha levatala. So we get around it. And what do we do? Like, in other words, Rav Avad Yosef feels very strongly, like once you light, you're done with the mitzvah. So you can't make the bracha afterwards. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The Ben Ish Chai says, what does the Ben Ish Chai say? Ben Ish Chai says that you, that, well, he actually says, he has a wild position. He says that the, that's the bra, that's the lighting that accepts Shabbos. So everyone rejects that. So everyone rejects that position. Everyone else holds that it's the lighting that, it's the bracha that's the acceptance of Shabbos. The bracha that's the acceptance of Shabbos. But that's only if you hold like the Bahag. He says, well, we should hold like the real position of the Shulchan Aruch, the Yesh Chokim, and therefore make the bracha, and then light, because maybe if you light first, then you can't make the bracha afterwards because you finish the mitzvah. However, Ashkenazim hold like the Aruch HaShulchan, source 35. This goes to Rabbeinu HaBeis Yosef. Shemneza no goes k'tas nashvach shidlikos aneros bebracha mashlichos la'aretz hapsila shebiyarun shidikibo ve'ein machabosam. Okay, so some women, after they light, they throw the match to the ground. They don't extinguish it. Venira da'osin nashim baruchu mikol de badlacha. Those women, they made the bracha before they lit. Dilu hayu mevarchos acharka. Because if they made the bracha afterwards, halo hayu cholos lechabos adayin konam bracha. You could still extinguish it before you made the bracha. That's what we do. Dizel pshita. That's what women do. Sorry. Dizel pshita the konam bracha. Lo ve'kabal shabbos. Everyone holds that before the bracha, you're not accepting Shabbos. Therefore, our women that make the bracha after adlaka, therefore they can extinguish, and then they make the bracha. So that's what you do, right? Again, you light, you extinguish because you haven't accepted it because you didn't make the bracha. You close your eyes because you're believing that the mitzvah has two parts. It's part A is the lighting, part B is the benefit from it, and you're reciting the bracha over last yasam. Ideally, over last yasam is before the beginning of the bracha of the mitzvah, but here it's before the end. At least you make the bracha before the end. This is similar. I'll give you another example. We wash our hands. So when do you make the bracha? When you wash your hands? So for various reasons, we don't make the bracha before we wash our hands, maybe because our hands aren't clean. We make the bracha after we wash our hands. Question is, why don't we do that actually? Because it could be, because it's a separate conversation, but it could be that really, like, all the washing because there's certain types of washing in the morning, for example, when you wash your hand, you can't make a bracha there. So we said all cases of washing, you make the bracha after you finish washing, but we make the bracha after we wash, but before we do what? Before we dry our hands.
Before we dry our hands.
Why are we doing that? Because over last yasam, even though it's not the before we begin the mitzvah, at least do it before we complete the mitzvah. I just want to make this couple points. What about men and what about Yom Tov? So it comes to Yom Tov. So I think I'm sure some of you do it differently. I think some of you will make the bracha first and then light, and some of you will do what you do on Shabbos. Right? Well, I don't know. What do you do? Do you do the same on Shabbos?
I do what I do on Shabbos.
You do on Shabbos? Do you do?
And I make the bracha and then.
Ah, good. See, good. I'm right. Okay, good. So it's not you. So it's both. Both are legitimate. The question is, the women they accept when it comes to Shabbos, they accept. There's this. The minog was that when they made the bracha, Ladik Neshul Shabbos, that was an acceptance of Shabbos. The question is, that true when it comes to Yom Tov? There are two opinions on this, and both are legitimate. So some women make the bracha, then light the Yom Tov candles. That is many hold like that, because again, you know, that's the Mishnah Berurah cites that first. The Magen Avraham says there's no difference, but the Pesach Tshuva says Nara Nara Pashte. They're both good. They're both legitimate positions when it comes to Yom Tov, and also when it comes to a man. When a man lights the, so in other words, you have the Magen Avraham says that you should do whatever you do on Shabbos. But others, the Dagel Mirvava and Rekiv Eger says no, Yom Tov, and Shari Tshuva say no, Yom Tov is different. So there's no consensus of opinion. Both are legitimate positions. And a man who lights, the men always make the bracha before they light. There was never an acceptance when men would make the bracha that they would accept Shabbos, because men typically, we hope, went to minyan. And so even if they lit, then what were they doing? They were going to shul, and they were always accepting Shabbos at Barchu or at Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. So they were always accepting. You can say, well, what if a woman always goes to shul? It could be. I'm saying that custom was, that's not the practice. The practice was that women were accepting Shabbos when they lit and they made the bracha, and men were accepting Shabbos when they recited, you know, Barchu, or when the Chazan said Barchu, or Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. And so therefore, if Yael goes away for Shabbos and I'm lighting by myself, even on Shabbos, I'm going to make the bracha first before I light. Okay. So that's it. Any questions?